Good morning, Australia. Good evening, US. And welcome to everyone listening across the planet. We are doing the Unwavered Success Show with Mel B. But before we talk to Mel, just a reminder that if you're listening live on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, can you please ask us questions, because we will have a moment at the end of the show when we can answer them. If you're watching this in replay, just a reminder that you can see it on YouTube channel. Please like and subscribe our Binge TV Networks TV show and on all Roku, LG and Samsung smart TVs across the planet. This is the 8th show in a series that we've been doing with Mel B, and I have to say it's with a huge tinge of sadness that this is the last show. However, Mel is skyrocketing her business, and we probably have come to the end of the time that she has to do these shows, so this has been an absolute pleasure sharing this time with Mel. And before I introduce you to her again, we're going to do a little welcome to country. And that's because we want to pay tribute to the unique and vital role our Indigenous communities play in the developing of Australia's cultural identity. And it goes like this: I respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast, and I pay my respects to the elders past and present, and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today and listening in the future. Thank you so much. Now, Mel Belmont is an award-winning healer, a mindset mentor, and she partners with empathpreneurs to clear their subconscious mind webs so they can leave their legacy on the world. It's a powerful space that Mel B works in, and she also delivers live talks, demos, and presentations to the empathic operators navigating the chaos of life so they feel unwavered confidence in their missions. Mel is available for TV and media presentations and to help change leaders amplify their intuitive knowing for growth and expansion. Welcome back to the show, Mel.
I too am a little bit sad.
I know. We've had so much fun. I, as the co-host, never anticipate learning on the go. And I do that each and every show with Mel. And that's a privilege that I don't take lightly. I know from talking to people that lots of people are watching this show, even though we might not know it. And different people said, I watched that show and I'm now working with Mel. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Mel is amazing in the work she's doing and does, and she's on a mission to particularly help empaths and empathpreneurs in this chaotic world. And I have to say, Mel, it's a little bit chaotic across the globe at the moment, and I know that a lot of people are really struggling with energy and flow. Are you seeing that in your clients before we get on with the show?
Yeah, there's, like we touched on last week, there's a lot of disconnect and there's a lot of challenges for people, shall we say. I'm seeing a lot of recurring themes in my client sessions in the last, well, since the start of the year particularly. Totally. Yeah, it's challenging times. I mean, it's like, it's almost a cliche of it's a challenge time, it's a journey. But it really is, and there's no way through a journey but through.
Just keep going. Just keep going. Yeah. So on with the show today, we've got another powerful subject to cover, and it's talking about the three power anchors for the 21st century empath, which is a great segue into our conversation just then. And we want to talk about tuning out others' fear. And if you're an empath, this is super, super important. Tell us about that, Mel.
Where do we start? How should we start today's chit-chat?
I think judgments, because there's a lot of judgment and angsty negativity out there, Mel. Mm. There's a lot of people judging other people's perceptions, other people's knowledge, and other people's experience. And everyone's different. And so how do we as empaths tune those judgments or those negative commentary on our very own beliefs or what we're saying? How do we do that as empaths?
Yeah, look, it is a particularly unique gift to have, and it has its own set of challenges. And I think the first thing, really, like anything, is awareness, to know that you are empathic. You were going to say?
Yeah, no, I'm nodding my head in absolute agreement, because if ever I kind of knew I was empathic, but having done these series of shows, like, there's no doubt in my mind that I feel in a different way to the greater population. I feel in a different depth. And for me, those the negativity, judgments, or someone passing commentary on what I particularly believe is a little challenging for me, and I'm sure it is for lots of other empaths.
Yeah, and I think it's about, as I was going to lead into, the first step of anything is the awareness.
Yeah.
And then from that awareness that I am sensitive, and that sensitivity actually isn't it's a flaw in that it's a challenge. You're human, but it's also a gift. And that when we know who we are, what we are made up of, and our unique expression, our unique personality, gifts, traits, how do we use them strategically for success? How do we recognize it's not a failing to be sensitive to others or to the environment or whatever?
Beautiful gift.
But how you work with it. And this is what this conversation I want to have today is about: how do you pay attention to the red flags, or when other people are seeing red and you're caught up in their space or their expression of energy or their motion in their emotion in motion? How do we protect? How do we be okay around that chaotic energy? And how do we
respond with grace?
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's exactly right. How do you hold space? How do you how can you be gracious when you're being judged or when others are being angry or some other emotion? And I definitely want to get into a little bit more of the science. Please remind me if I don't remember. Let's talk about mirror neurons. And we'll talk about that. I want to just give a bit of background before we get into the sciencey stuff again. And then it's appreciating that I've got these gifts and I'm going to use them. Whether you're an employee or you're self-employed, an entrepreneur, wherever you are in the world, in society, you have them for a reason. These are gifts that you can express and use to be of service to others or to yourself. And that's where the uniqueness, like the droplet I was talking about last time, is we are unique expressions. How do we work with? And, you know, we hear a lot about equality and, you know, different personality types and team dynamics. And that's become fairly normal, that you need different types of personality for the success and cohesion of a project or a program or some goal that you're working towards. And that's embracing all the differences for the benefit of all. And I think that is the key to being empathic, of recognizing we have these gifts and how am I going to use them? How am I going to accept them even for myself, let alone how am I going to use them? So I think that's the kind of starting point.
The other side of that is that once you recognize and have an awareness around you being an empath, then it's also about protecting yourself, because you are sensitive and you will feel strongly about issues, conversations, whatever. And I'm wondering, Mel, that responding with grace and that protecting us from outside distraction, because part of the work you do is in empowering empaths to follow their life path and mission. And for empaths, you need to maintain a focus on your vision and life path. And because we're sensitive, we can get distracted easily. So what are your hints to managing that as an empath?
Well, let's just go a little bit deeper, if you want to, about what are red flags? What are, before we even get to how do we manage them, well, how can we spot them?
Yeah.
So I talk about in two ways. The red flags, that's a term that's been fairly common, definitely in the personal development space. But seeing red is another phrase of other people, when you recognize other people are seeing red, as in aggression or frustration or sadness. How can we, don't get too caught up in the color, it's just a phrase because I unwavered.
It's a red. Good.
It's just part of my IP. So what is a red flag? For those who've never heard the term, so it's a behavior or a signal that one should pay attention to. Sometimes there are our own red flags that we're kind of like, I'm about to cross a line. I'm kind of giving you hints here in my behaviors that, like, don't keep pushing me. Don't keep poking the bear. I'm trying to give you clues. I'm putting up the red flag to say, I'm about to break, snap, respond, be ungraceful. So we can give out our own red flags. And the more we know ourselves, I guess the less we put the flag up and we just say no. I was I had a friends gathering for Australia Day last week, and the boys were talking about something, and as an empath, and I'm like, ooh, I'm really uncomfortable with that. Don't stop. I did ask them to stop. Like, can we change the subject? No, they want to talk. Well, okay, I'm going to step away. So I went and left them to have their conversation because I shouldn't be imposing my limits on them. And I stepped away and they finished off their conversation and somebody came and chatted with me. So it's not about making a big deal about what your sensitivities are. If you raise them and say, I really don't want to talk about that, that's really going to upset me, I want you to choose how you want to respond to that. No, you want to finish that conversation. Then it's for me to protect my energy and to step away. So that's one way red flags is we put out red flags, and we're doing this all the time.
Yeah.
And the other one is to spot, I guess, the poor behaviors of other people. Narcissists is often a red flag topic, and I have so many clients who work with narcissistic wounds. So, what are we going to ask?
No, I just, in the conversation of red flags, my grandson, when he was in kindy, they described red flag behaviors or red flag decisions. And I remember him at 4 saying, Nana, that's a red decision. Nana, that's a green decision. And it just prompted me to go, so there's a fundamental starting to learn at a very young age, the red and the green, which for a 4-year-old, that's fantastic to go, oh, I'm angry, that's a red flag, or I threw something, that's a red decision. So even from a 4-year-old, I'm like, okay, so if a 4-year-old can do it, we can do it, can't we?
Yeah. Oh, I love hearing this. I didn't know they were teaching that at such a young age. And yes, you know, there's societal programming in there, you know, traffic lights and red and green. There's so many ways it's used. And I think it's really important to use it for body language, use it for behaviors. And I love that the little ones are being taught that's an escalation. So that's a red. Yep. That's aggression or whatever. I don't know what they've been taught specifically, but I think it's very powerful. Like you said, if kids
and
can
he's
learn,
a I was just going to say, he's a very sensitive child as well. So he's actually had some of those conversations via me, Nana, and his mother as well. And if we just knowing that might help people understand that this is a simple concept, but it actually is very powerful in your everyday life to either remove yourself from things that might be triggering or likely to cause an angry response, and going back to that responding with grace. And Mel's example of walking away in a barbecue scenario to just quietly, without fanfare, take yourself away and then come back into the conversation, that's a beautiful way for empaths to engage with the world around them, where often we're seeing and hearing things that make me go, make my skin crawl, or cause me to go, argh, don't like that, don't like that conversation, don't agree with that. And yeah, that protection of your empathic energy is so important. Now, Mel, how do we amplify our awareness of these things as empaths?
Yeah, I just want to add something else onto that. Responding with grace is also not about making others wrong. So I didn't want to
that's
say
correct.
You shouldn't be talking about that, because of itself, and who am I to say what is and isn't appropriate? So there's a two-way street, and I have learned complete self-acceptance to say I'm going to speak up that that's not comfortable for me, and rather than sit quiet, and then if they're like, no, Mel, we want to keep talking, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's an equal two-way street. And of course, I only surround myself with respectful people and friends who it's okay for me to say, oh, that's a bit, oh, that affects me. And they're like, totally get it, Mel. We know you're sensitive. But we're also ourselves. So the grace has to be two-way respect and catching.
Definitely.
I see a lot of spiritual people bypassing spirituality and or judging others, like swearing is another one. I'm in two camps. Sometimes it's okay to swear and sometimes it's not. It's about professionalism, but in the certain context, the power of the word, the frequency, the tune of that word carries an energy, and sometimes it kind of amplifies whatever you're talking, which is, I guess, a nice way of segueing. What was your question specifically again, sorry?
I wanted to lead us back to what amplifies our awareness of that. And that was going back to the mirror neurons and how that, the science behind what we're talking about.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yes, how do we, so let me give a scenario. Say you've got a girl's lunch or drinks or something like that. There's a gathering of girlfriends. You don't do that much so much now with COVID, but anywho, remember the good old days when we used to gather for a glass of wine on Friday nights? Anywho, and the conversation just naturally flows, but somebody starts to get into a little bit of gossip and a little bit of cattiness around a colleague or a family member. And either you can't, or you don't know how, or they won't change the subject, whatever the situation is. Part of the way humans work is based on empathy, and that is based on our connection to others. We're programmed for connection. And we know as children, like your little four-year-old is learning, that behaviors and responses have reactions and consequences. And so little ones, babies learn how to read facial expressions from their mother. It's the number, it's the first skill humans develop. And this is not new. Like, we know that connection happens. And studies have been done of baby chimps, where the chimps, this is where my heart gets pulled. The chimps in the studies were deprived contact with any other of their family to see what reaction the babies would have. And these chimps grew up psychologically damaged. They couldn't connect. They have social anxiety, or, you know, the naughty children's, they didn't know how to be around chimps when they were reintroduced. So we know that the interactions, the body reading, the facial expressions, all of that matters.
Mm.
And again, studies have done that humans are like the primates, that we do interact and that parts of our brain respond and mirror what's happening around us with the other people around us, of mommy smiling, the baby smiling.
Yeah.
And parts of our brains are actually activated, which causes us to involuntarily respond in the same way. So we mirror what we're seeing. And the more facial expressions the other person has, the more we are responding and mirroring their expressions. That makes it. I'm very visually expressive.
Yes.
So I know I can have an impact on others. But additional to just that, it evokes a mirror emotional center in our brains. So what happens is your brain sees a smile. And so your brain mirrors the smile. But the smile then triggers an emotional response to whatever the smile. It's like our brain knows that a smile is happy. A smile is relaxed. A smile equals calm and at peace. So it changes our state based on the people around us.
And does that work with just people we know? Does that work with strangers? Does it work with all human beings? Is that the normal way that our brains work?
Yes, humans are programmed to respond to other humans, human connections. So it doesn't matter how, I guess, short-based an interaction with. Like, this is why I know I have impact on others. And people relate to this. Like, you could be in a supermarket mall. It's harder with a mask on. But a smile triggers a smile from someone else. If you make eye contact and you genuinely smile, they can't help but not smile back. Unless they're really in their own head and the ego's driving the show. But generally, a smile triggers a response. It's involuntary. And so you don't need to have a close bond with someone. However, the more you respect them, the more you admire them, the more you look up to the person that you're communicating with, and the more empathy that they have and hold space for you. So if they're in grace while you're angry, the more state you are open to them and the stronger the connection, the more likelihood of catching or matching their state.
Ah.
So, yeah, go on, Anne. What's your question? Go on.
This is just really good stuff. Really good stuff. So, if you're in a situation that is quite confrontational, if you're able to maintain that peace and grace and calmness, you're more likely to keep them calm? Is that the way that it works, Mel?
It kind of depends on who is expressing the strongest emotion. So if they're really angry or very emotionally sad, for example, it's quite hard for us to hold our I'm happiness state.
Yeah.
It still has an impact on us. The sense of yourself, self-acceptance, self-awareness can in some ways control how much they affect you. So I've been around angry situations and I've just held my ground and it's like, and it does de-escalate their energy because they're not matching it. They're not getting that feed into their energy. They're not sucking your energy and amplifying their own.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I'm guessing if it's a really confrontational situation, then there will be times where you actually have to step away. If that is building and building rather than de-escalating, it's possibly better for you because you'll sense that, won't you? As an empath, you will intrinsically feel the angst, pain, anger, whatever it's going on in that person, you will feel that, won't you, as an empath?
I mean, you don't even need to be highly empathic to walk into a room and know there's tension. But it's true that the strongest emotion will win over. And if it is an energy that you don't want to match, then how do we protect ourselves? How do we respond with grace?
How do we?
Exactly what I said at the barbecue is, okay, you do you. I'm going to go and do me over here because I don't want to do that. I'm not making that wrong, but I want to have my day this way. I don't want to, I don't need to cry or be sad with you. I'm like, my day's awesome. And I'm really, really sorry. I can be empathetic that you're having a crappy day and you're angry or you're sad or you're frustrated or whatever you're feeling. But I don't need to feel that or match it in order to be empathetic. And is it okay if I don't get sucked into that energy?
Absolutely. I'm not talking about abandoning.
So walking away, protecting, or just saying I need some time out. We all know that we just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and sub-story victim, keep going. You're just enough. Yeah. I can't give you any more.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this conversation actually leads us into the next thing that we want to cover in this show, and that's about power anchors. And what are power anchors?
Okay, so do we want to jump to the picture?
Yes, absolutely.
Right, let's have a go. So what I'm going to go into is the three most common anchors. I'll let you, there you go. That my clients come across. I'm just going to minimize that because I don't need to. Okay, so three power anchors. This is how your brain, the other phrase for them can
this
be.
This is
attachments.
A great brain. This is a great brain, by the way.
It can be anchors, it can be karmic ties, it can be attachments, ways a brain can create. But I love the visual because all of my stories are all about the ocean. And so I went, anchors is perfect. So if you hop to the first or the next picture, the first scenario that I come across is where people are doubting themselves.
Right.
So what do you want to ask me about this?
So if they're doubting themselves, in that particular situation, or they're doubting themselves generally across their life?
Look, the big driver for empaths is making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time we have a mission, even if it's, some of us have global visions and missions and some do not. Some are perfectly, and this is absolutely wonderful, there's no comparison, who want to make a local impact within their family, within their small client base, within their neighborhood even. But the impact is just as deep and widespread.
Driving.
It doesn't matter what your audience or your community distribution is. It's the impact you wish to make. And some people doubt that they're going to make that. So what I find is, these are scenarios where you're working like 60 hours a week, usually the first couple of years of your business. Working 60 hours a week, you're serving and serving and serving. And to be truthful, you're probably taking less home than like a McDonald's clerk because you're putting so much in and you're not getting back. And so because you're not getting much back, you feel you're not making the impact.
And that's where the doubt comes in. That's where you start to doubt that you're going to reach that desired impact. And again, it's not about a huge, big global mission, although some of us do have global vision and mission. It can just be about wanting to raise your kids in a certain way so that your legacy or impact is around what your children or grandchildren will do. So it's very variable, isn't it, Mel?
Yeah. And so what happens is they start to work harder. They start to put more effort in. And they sometimes and quite frequently start lowering their prices because they feel if I'm not making the impact, I'm charging too much. And if I'm charging too much, I'm not serving. And therefore, I'd rather serve at a lower price than not serve at all. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of create this cycle and this rat race of creating content, for example, of trying to attract more clients in, and I'll do it cheaper, negotiating, just working their butts off and not really feeling like they're kind of getting anywhere. It's like the treadmill, just and not feel like they're getting wherever there is for them.
And that's the self-doubt and the self-esteem
Yeah.
that's causing them not to move forward.
Yeah.
So,
And
go on, Mel.
No, you go. It's a conversation. You go.
And that believing that the harder you work, the more you do, and the more you give will get the desired outcome that you want, when in fact that's not always the case, is it? Sometimes it's just simply a time factor. Sometimes you have to do the work around your self-esteem and self-doubt, and then the success starts to flow. Yeah?
Yeah, so all of this doubt is actually, and the belief that they need to work harder is not necessarily the problem that needs to be addressed. The problem is, as you're saying, a self-esteem that who am I to be making this kind of impact on the world? Who do I think I am? Or I don't have the gifts to be telling, delivering, showing up in this way. The teacher kind of hypocrisy, or they feel like they're not congruent in how they're living and how they're coaching. So there's a lot of doubts around what they're doing and the impact they're going to make in the world because they don't believe that they're ready, or who am I? And so they just work harder at the same stuff instead of maybe doing in our game.
Maybe tweaking. In the next slide, we've got, I'm going to let you read this out because it's just another beautiful slide.
Can we just go back to the last one?
Oh, yes.
So I actually want to provide some solutions.
Yes.
How do you work around this if you are working so hard and doing so much and you're still doubting? Is a couple of little hacks is, stop trying to stop trying and jumping onto the next bandwagon. So stick with
what you're doing.
Yeah. And there's a marketing term called failing fast. So that's give it all the go that it needs. Let it play itself out and prove that it's not working before you jump ship and try and find another way of being successful or making life easier. I've done this for the good 4 or 5 years of my business. I learned the hard way of, I was so busy chasing clients, chasing the money, trying to be successful that I wouldn't properly try and implement something and then adjust and tweak before I adopted another practice or another strategy. And all of that comes from paying attention to what you feel you need to be doing. Have I given this a red hot go before I switch to another task? Or am I living in fear and then I'm trying to do everything
so it doesn't. And what's the next hack, Mel?
So it's paying attention to that guidance system. So it's learning, is this right? Have I talked myself out of something because it's not in alignment? Am I working hard on something I don't really want to do? We talk about genius zones. Or am I trying to get Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and everything working instead of going, you know what, I'm going to focus on one.
Yes.
See what needs to be done and work hard on that one thing and going, you know what? That's what's hitting. People like that. Then you learn a new, because each platform is different. Then you jump to your next platform or your partnership or a collaboration or event or a workshop or whatever the next thing is. Yeah. When we scatter ourselves, it's so hard because it is, we're working hard.
Definitely. Mel, does intuition play a part in that as well? So if you intuitively, absolutely believe in a product, service, package, whatever your business has, you absolutely believe in it. It's actually about sticking to that course, because if you've been given that intuitive thought and idea, it's there for a reason. Is that correct?
Oh, I believe so. I think if you've received something, you're not just doing something because it seems like a good idea. I think if you are internally motivated towards something, then absolutely. And
stick
learn.
With it.
Yeah, stick with it and learn what the marketing requirements are for that thing. Because marketing is the biggest thing in business. And it kind of, when you're an
it's
empath,
massive.
We don't want to be caught up with all that stuff. But it's just what's got to be done. We've got to learn the best way of communicating what we do and how we help. So,
and Mel, from an empathic point of view, there is some overwhelm around, say, social media. There is overwhelm over some of those mediums and thinking I have to be right on this medium and that medium. And there's great advice in saying pick one, do that, then move to the next.
Yeah. Look, I'm no marketing or business specialist, so I don't want
There's
to...
so much to learn.
Yeah, well, there is. Yes, that's very true. There are big umbrellas as well. Not my field of expertise, but that intuitive draw to which platform or which modality or what way of doing business. Absolutely. I do think. And I think
yes,
I was drawn to video very, very early on. And then I talked myself out of it. I got scared. I was self-conscious about the way I looked and how and what I was sharing. It was very woo. And so it's taken me years of adopting and accepting. So I bought lots of script templates and ways of delivering in structured
that help
formats.
You feel less anxious. I absolutely agree with you. I'm the online broadcaster and I know that I still have trouble looking in the video and appearing live. It still gives me angsty moments, but I keep doing it because there's intuition behind that. There's passion and drive and excitement and all of those things. So sometimes I just have to switch that off and go, no, this is the show today. This is what we're going to do. Bang, get on and keep doing. Keep showing up, isn't it, Mel?
And I think that links nicely to what we were just talking about is I know that I'm a very visually, facially expressive communicator. And so I've been told by, I think I've had four video and that style of coaching, all say, look, you're great on the camera. You come across really personable. And now that I understand the science, it's like, well, why wouldn't I use the platform that most helps me build connection? Because I'm an empath. So it's kind of like there's this beautiful marriage. It's like, I just have to get over my own stuff.
Yes.
Always remember, it's never about me. If I'm on this massive global mission, I have to get out of my own way and stop worrying about how I look. And here's a tip for anybody worried about video is it doesn't matter what you see and what you think of yourself because everybody
Other people.
Sees that way. Everybody on the planet sees you the way you're looking in the video. It's just you're not used to look at yourself in the mirror.
Definitely.
It's irrelevant. You like yourself on video because that's what people are seeing anyway. That was a massive breakthrough for me 3 or 4 years ago.
Me too. Me too.
And it's like, oh, well, that's what people see. So it's about serving others and getting ourselves out the way. So we digress.
Yes. To our next anchor point.
Yeah.
And that's around.
Go ahead, you read it. You read it.
That's around prioritizing the priority. Oh, sorry, my apologies, team. That's prioritizing the happiness of others, and that's causing the plateauing of your business, isn't it? So you're prioritizing what happens and the happiness of others. And it causes a plateau in your business. How do you describe that now?
So how this looks for my clients is often they've got, I guess, a set of intentions or a to-do list or a checklist for the day. And these other things end up on the list getting done that weren't even on the list. So they're adding things to the list and they're moving down the really important things that they should be doing themselves, the important urgent tasks are not being attended to. And what they're doing is they're allowing other people's priorities. I read a term, I think it's OPP, other people's priorities. And sorry, I can't remember who came up with that. It's not mine. OPPs instead of your own. And as empaths, we're really good at putting other people before us.
Absolutely. And it's quite difficult as an empath to learn to prioritize yourself and your business first, because our natural inclination is to make others happy. We're generally people pleasers, aren't we, Mel?
It's so true. Yeah. We don't like saying no. And on the flip side of that, is a little bit of procrastination. They're both procrastination. So allowing other people's things before ourselves and doing things we shouldn't be doing. Yeah. Like one of my favorite, and this is when I know I'm procrastinating, I'm just as guilty of this people, is tidying the sock drawer.
Oh, I love that.
Organizing, you know, we've all got a junk drawer, whether it's in the hallway, the kitchen. I've got one in the office and in the house. When I find myself rummaging in there, because I'm really organized and I like, you know, everything's got a place. And if I find myself tidying the cables, it's like, Mel, what are you avoiding? Let's look at the list. And I will manage most of the time to stop it. And go, the junk drawer is not going anywhere. It can wait until the end of the day if I have to. Yeah.
Now, what sits behind that procrastination? What's the underlying thing that causes us to procrastinate? Because I do it too.
Yeah. It's one of two things. It's an accumulation of fears that are either a fear of a failure or a fear of success. We're all driven by desire or fear. Now, a large percentage of entrepreneurs or soul-driven operators, we're actually driven by desire for success, but sometimes we're afraid of our own success.
Yes.
Sabotage ourselves.
I was going to say, it took me ages to figure out that I was actually fearful of success. But for many of us, and actually in Australian culture in particular, Mel, where we have that tall poppy syndrome, for a lot of us, we are actually scared or fearful of being successful because we think that we're just going to be dragged down to the ground again. And it is a real challenging element of an empathic personality to get through that. I found it difficult. What about you?
I've had to work through it too. I'm getting there. I wouldn't say I'm at the global stage yet. The driver behind Tall Poppy is because people are being called out. And we're afraid that we're going to be called out for not being good enough, not knowledgeable enough, or I don't agree with what you're saying, or that thing is not true. I deliver some really polarizing, challenging different opinions.
Yes.
And it's taken me, this is my seventh year, to be able to have these kinds of shows and discussions and say,
and
this is what I think.
And have an open conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. All you doubters, judgers, naysayers, disagreements, or people who just have a differing opinion, that's fine.
That's okay.
It's not going to stop me doing my work. You can say what you want. Of course, it will still, if it gets through, hurt. But I'm not going to let the hurt or the fear of being hurt stop me. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who do resonate with what I say. And that's all that matters. I just focus on them. And people with barriers and trolls and all that stuff, doesn't matter.
Which brings us back to that anchor of prioritizing us and our business over what other people are doing. And that links to the self-belief, your intuitive guidance system that keeps you on track. It's just about awareness, isn't it, Mel?
Yeah, so the hack is literally be aware of your self-sabotage. Be aware when you're avoiding. Catch yourself when you're procrastinating. And it's perfectly okay. You will do it every day. But how long do you allow yourself to wallow in that avoidance. It's really as simple as that of, I'm afraid of something. You might not know what you're afraid
what
of,
it is,
but I know I shouldn't be doing this thing right now.
That's actually a key point, Mel, that it's about catching the feeling or the reaction, and not really, you don't always have to know what that's about, but to catch it and go, oh, I'm cleaning the sock drawer. Right. What am I avoiding?
Look, kids and animals know when they're doing something they shouldn't be. Just kind of look at us and go, oh, I don't want to do that. Don't want to, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Go to school today.
Yeah, or do my homework. And they'll just look at you like, oh, because they're trying to get the mirror neurons working. It's like, can I do something if I be cute? Puppy dog eyes, whatever. Yeah. It's avoidance. It is. And so when we can catch that with ourselves and go, oh, what do I not want to do? So you're giving yourself grace and compassion, saying, I'm avoiding something. Treat it as a game with myself, going, what are you avoiding now, Mel?
Yeah.
What are you saying that's not true to your mission? Like we said in the first slide, that clarity of this is more than me. Stop avoiding the camera. Stop writing and the script for the camera. Stop avoiding the editing of the video. Whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm avoiding it. And if necessary, outsource.
Outsource. There's amazing people out there that will
help. It's not just about VAs. You can hire cheaper services as well. There are many small little subtasks, little things you can, you know, for $5 to $50, get things done because you know you're sitting on it and it's not going to be released to the world unless you get external action done.
Exactly right. Mm. Now, the next slide and the next anchor statement is your fear of being trolled is stopping your growth. So I'm going to say that again. Your fear of being trolled is stopping your growth. Can you explain for the audience, Mel?
Yeah. So how this might show up in clients is like, for the last couple of months, you haven't consistently taken on two more clients each week. Like whatever your goal is, you know, you're not hitting it. So that's how you can kind of catch yourself. We're talking about being awareness. Yeah. So those are the kind of things that are happening. And so this sort of behavior comes from maybe perfectionism.
Yeah.
Too much comparing yourself to others.
Yeah.
It can be reducing or not taking on board from advice from your coaches. They're saying this should be priced here, or you should do this, or maybe you should try that. I'm using a lot of shoulds in there. But if the experts are making suggestions that you're paying them for and you're not, then it is a should. So it's basically not responding to any of that stuff. And it's a thought to you. How does it show up in your life?
Oh, for me, for me, it's that... mine is absolutely around fear of success. So I will actually procrastinate by playing in Canva, for instance, or playing with my social media or editing my YouTube channel because I love doing that. Like, that's fun for me.
Yes.
And then I'll go, no, you need to actually finish with that business plan. You actually need to flesh out that marketing strategy. You actually need to, so that's how it shows up for me. And I know that that's directly linked to my fear of success and that global, not reaching that global vision because I think that I'm not good enough. So a powerful anchor statement for me to recognize. And I've been thinking about it since I saw the PowerPoint this morning. I thought, oh yeah, right, a good reminder, which actually segues into the last slide because I'm conscious that we are running out of time fast and we have lots to talk about. And this is particularly important for empaths, and that's our reliance on our internal guidance. Mel, you want to talk to this a bit more?
Yeah, look, I've spelled it all out really for people. If you want to grab a screenshot, I should have put my brand on there, but oh well. So these are the most common things that empaths could work on in their businesses, not switching tasks.
Yeah.
And this is how it actually shows up from those anchors. So these are the actual causes that you can be aware of is your sabotage and your fear of comparing yourself to others. So the trolling is a lot to do with how you feel that you shouldn't be. The trolls are going to call you out. It's the two are very intertwined between procrastination, self-doubt. There's a lot that's enmeshed in the two. So it was actually hard to break it down. I could have probably just done two and gone really deep in the second one, but they do have slightly different nuances. So some will sit with some and some will do the others. But the biggest thing is about not constantly deferring externally.
Yes.
Follow your intuitive guidance system.
And I still struggle with that one in particular, Mel, and I'm going to stop sharing for a while because I want to look at your beautiful face. that idea that you self-sabotage in the smallest of ways and getting used to pinpointing those little ways in which you sabotage yourself and going, what's going on here? And you know, we're busy working women, working on a global mission. And that busyness in itself can prevent us from getting the things done that we need to do. And so sometimes that's about, I've gotten into the habit in 2022 of blocking out buffer time or me time between appointments because my calendar is readily and publicly available and people book in all the time, which is amazing. And I love talking and meeting people and discussing new ways of doing business. But the downside of that is there will be days when I forget to tap in to my daily spiritual practice because my first call's been with the US at 5 a.m. in the morning and my last call is with the UK at 7 p.m. at night. Yeah. And it's simply about going through your schedule a week before and going, right, I'm going to take an hour break here. I'm going to take a half hour break there. And that will actually not stop the flow of my business. That keeps my flow going. And I know you're really busy too, Mel. You have amazing clients that you work with. And is that something that you do for yourself as well? Do you allocate me time in your daily schedule?
I start my day a very specific hour to allow me time in the morning. So that allows me, if I've been up till midnight, which I was last night.
Yes,
it allows me.
I can vouch for that.
It allows me to sleep in if my body needs it. It allows me to do whatever I need to. I'm not personal training at the moment, but I need to get back into that. I do allow downtime. And something I want to kind of like link back to what we said halfway through the show was, as a healer, as an operator, how am I able to hold space and grace if someone's having an emotional breakdown?
Yeah.
I don't want to be so tired that I'm not able to manage myself and then I'm affected by a client. That's not cool. That's not professional. It's not helpful. It's not necessary. And the only way to manage that on, because it, like, I have 3 or 4 clients every day and a client appointment is 2 hours. So I have 6 to 8 hours of clients and yes, coaches, leverage your time, but that fulfills me. And I get to, this is what's unique about me. I get to download and recharge during session. So I'm a little bit different. So I have 4 charge ups a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, I've also discovered that talking to amazing people live on air lights me up and regenerates my energy. A crazy thought for an empath. And I know when I first had that thought, I'm like, are you serious? You're an empath introvert. And I'm like, well, no, I actually love this.
You're an extrovert.
I love talking to people about their business and what they do, because it lights me up, because sharing other people's gifts with the world is an amazing thing to do. Like, what a privilege.
I just want to actually correct myself. You're extroverted, some of your tendencies. I'm the same. I'm an extroverted empath. That's okay. I'm actually an ambivert. It doesn't mean extroverted. It doesn't mean that you can't be. If you draw your energy and you're charged up by connection with another, you are extroverted. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're completely extroverted all of the time.
Because I need that quiet time walking around the garden, talking to the goats and the trees.
So you're ambivert.
Ah, that's awesome. Oh my God. Look, we are just about out of time. And I just, every time I talk to you, like I think of another million shows that we could do. And I don't want to finish the show without saying how grateful I am to have had the privilege of doing these shows with you, Mel. And I know that you will absolutely achieve that global mission that you have. And it's a beautiful, wonderful, powerful, amazing mission. And I want the audience to make sure that if you're struggling in any part of your life, particularly if you're an empath, and you will be struggling at this time across the globe in this space that we're in, reach out and have a chat with Mel. She is an expert above experts in this area, and she can help you. And if you're a business person, she'll help you drive your business further. So Mel B, thank you for coming on
the
show.
I just have one thing in there.
Absolutely.
I'll link with you.
I
offer 20-minute consults for free, complimentary.
Free of charge.
And some people have massive breakthroughs just in those 20 minutes. So
yes,
I offer that. That's my gift to the world. I can supercharge what we can do in 20 minutes. We're in a time
absolutely. Board. Absolutely.
So we'll share that link.
We will share that link, Mel B. Before TJ kicks us live off air, thank you so much. And that will be our lot for this week. I'm sure that we will be able to have Mel back on the various programs that we have at some stage. And I know that there will be more between for Mel and I in the future. But thank you so much, Mel B. That, my friends, is your lot for this week and this show. And we will see you all soon. Bye for now. Thanks,
Bye,
Mel.
Bye-bye.